that is the Birds with the To Everything Turn, Turn, Turn. Before that, of course, we heard Telstar by the Tornadoes. It's time now for the Garden Conversation, which is underwritten by the bookstore, selling new and used books, cards, and art supplies on Main Street in Haynes from 11 to 5, Tuesday through Saturday. You can reach them at 766-3356 and online at HaynesBookstore.com. Hello.
Good morning.
Mardell and Rebecca this morning.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. So we're going to do something a little different this morning. I get a lot of my information, my education off of podcasts. And one of my favorites is the Joe Gardner podcast. And just recently he did an interview with a man by the name of Robert Pavlis. And I thought it was so interesting that I went to Rebecca and I said, hey, Rebecca, would you go listen to this so that we can talk about it? Uh-huh. And Rebecca agreed. We're going to hit the highlights. If you find this interesting or if you didn't quite understand what we're talking about, you too can go listen to that podcast. It's
right.
JoeGardner.com.
Show number 270 and 272.
Yep. And so we're mostly going to talk about show number 270 today, mm-hmm. which is mostly about roots, and 272 is more about leaves and whatnot. Maybe we'll talk about that another day, but you can also go back and you can go and listen to it. So one of the reasons that I wanted to talk about this on the Garden mm-hmm. Conversation is I believe that it's good to understand why things are happening with plants. Mm-hmm. Why do we do this? Rather than just know the rules, it is helpful to me, at least, to try to understand why. So some of these things today have helped explain a few things. So let's start in with it about roots. This man is saying that the recent research is that they're discovering that there is a rhizosphere.
Right.
Am I pronouncing that correctly,
mm-hmm.
I hope?
Right, and it's just the small area around the roots. It's a fancy name for like a millimeter thick zone around the roots. And the plant has a lot of control in that area. And that area is important because most of the nutrients are brought in from the roots, not from the leaves, but from the roots. So the rhizosphere is really important to the plant, that area right around the roots. And it can do amazing things.
It is amazing
in
that
zone.
Mm-hmm.
And
it does controls. I mean, basically mm-hmm. it controls the environment down there. Mm-hmm. So it can be in soil that isn't so perfect for it. But yet the plant or that mm-hmm. root area knows how to get what it needs to right. the point that will actually even change the pH.
Right. It can change the pH up to 2 points mm-hmm. on its own. So, like, Mardell could have a general pH in her garden of 7.5. Yeah. I might have one of 5.5.
And we can still grow the same things.
We can grow the same things, even though we try mm-hmm. to adjust our pH.
Mm-hmm.
But the plant itself can do so much to create what it needs. It can adjust that pH with its own magical powers by creating exudates, which it means it exudes different chemicals to create that atmosphere that it wants.
And it does mm-hmm. that mostly with little root hairs. So mm-hmm. these roots, there's a root cap that kind of busts through. That's the end of the root. And mm-hmm. it kind of busts through and goes out through hard soil. And if the soil's too hard, it will stop and it will start growing lateral roots.
Right. Carrots are kind of a pretty good image for that.
Exactly.
Yep.
But the significant thing is these root hairs. This was a little bit of a knowledge thing mm-hmm. for me. I didn't realize that it's the root hairs that are actually doing the work. Mm-hmm. And they don't last forever. The plant,
2 weeks maybe?
2 weeks.
And then
two weeks
they
is
die.
Maximum that these
wow.
root hairs last. So the plant's constantly doing these. But what it's doing is it's creating a huge surface area mm-hmm. for water and the nutrients to get to that plant by doing all of these root hairs.
You can see it really well when you transplant something.
You can.
You'll see all these little hairs all over, and you'll break some off, and some mm-hmm. will fall on the ground, and you'll feel bad. But those root hairs will be recreated. Mm-hmm. But those are creating a place for nutrients to be absorbed, or a place for a pH to be adjusted, or basically provide and create what the plant needs.
It's kind of the workhorse.
I'm kind of seeing like capillaries in the human body.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah. It's similar to that. And they're tiny, tiny little things. And amazing things happen in these root hairs.
The exchanges.
And that's the exciting science that's happening now with plants. They're realizing that there's a whole network. The microbes and the fungi are integral. The plants don't survive if they don't have those things. So, for example, fungus, a plant can't go and pull a phosphate or can't pull any mineral, basically, out of the soil. But a fungus can break it down. We all see fungus. If we go out on a hike, we see fungus that's breaking down rock. And so that's what happens in the soil as well. So the plant needs that fungus to get the phosphorus and boron and other minerals for the plant.
And bacteria are the same way. They come in when the plant exudes sugars. The bacteria and the fungus both eat sugar like crazy.
So when you see mushrooms growing in your garden, that's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Okay.
Right.
So, it's really, the mushrooms aren't doing it, but it's the mycelium. Right. It's the part of the mushroom that grows all around. So it's not the fruiting body of the mushroom that makes anything, but it's the fact that you've got mycelium in there is a good thing.
That's a good thing.
That's right.
So let's talk about compost.
Well, compost kind of ties into this.
Sure.
Because compost, we're introducing bacteria and microbes and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. I like to think of compost as like a probiotic for your soil. Maybe you've taken a probiotic for your own intestinal health.
Mm-hmm.
You're basically putting a shot of living organisms into your soil, just like you would put into your own intestines. And you don't know exactly what that probiotic is doing.
You just hope for the best.
You're trusting that your body's going to figure that out. And that's pretty much the same as a compost. You've got all these different things you've added to the compost, and all the natural processes are happening within it. And when you add it to the soil, you know that a lot of them are going to be beneficial. Maybe not all of them, but a lot of them are going to be beneficial. So you put this shot of living stuff into your soil, which is going to say to your plants, hey, look, there's all these workers. There's all these bacteria and fungi and nematodes and little beasties that can potentially help you. And it's going to activate the plant to create exudates.
And it's here. I think that's one of the things that we've got to remember with compost. We're putting it there so it's there when the plant needs it. And it's going to need different things in May when it's starting than what it's going to need in July when it's fruiting.
And the plant's in charge of knowing.
And the plant knows. One of the things that Robert Pavlis said on this podcast that was kind of a good reminder to me, he says, compost is not a quick fix. It's totally useless for that. Don't put compost on and think, oh, I'm feeding my plant that's going to help next week. That's not what compost does. You need to add a fertilizer if you're going to do that.
Something more readily available, like a pelletized 444, just something that adds that NPK. I usually adding compost and a pelletized fertilizer every season is a great idea.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Because we have so much rain and so much snow, and in the spring, everything is pretty depleted. You can pretty much count on it.
Which leads us to nitrogen. I mean, what you're talking about, the effect of the rain and the snow is nitrogen is a nutrient that gets depleted easily. And so replacing nitrogen, it's fickle. I mean, you can have your soil tested today, and if we get a rain tomorrow, it's going to be completely different.
Right.
But
it changes constantly.
It changes constantly. Nitrogen. Some of the other ones are not like that. So so what you're saying is adding in some nitrogen so that it is there more readily available, and your compost then is your long-term, like, I'm just going to have something there for the plant to...
It breaks down over the next 5 years.
Five years. 5 years. That was fascinating.
Yeah, he said 5 years for compost.
5 years after it's decomposed, it still is got microbes in there and putting in microbes. Wow.
And so when you put in your compost, a lot of times I'll see people put that on the top layer.
That's why it's not important whether it's dug in or whether it's on top, because
the rain will push it down.
Well, it's you're putting in the organic matter and the microbes, and those microbes are going to find their way. It's not like you're putting a fertilizer. It probably makes more sense to put it close to the root area, but compost is more general.
It's like heat-seeking missiles.
Yes,
they'll
find
the way.
So, so let's see. What else did we want to talk about? I do think that it's important to recognize that these plants, like Rebecca said, are exchanging. They're giving sugar. The rest of the plant is getting other things from the microbes that are down there.
Plant-soluble nutrients is what they exchange for the sugar.
Right.
But they come in like little sugar addicts to the donut shop, and they go, "Can I have some more? Look what I got in exchange." Instead of dollars, they give nutrients, and then they have that exchange all the time.
Right.
And they go back out, and they do it again.
And the plant says, "Well, I don't really need any nitrogen here. I got to put on this tomato fruit. I need something else." And so, it's
so interesting, the complexity of it.
It is. The complexity is amazing. And I love what they're finding, what they're learning at this point. Yeah. You know, it's not just the NPK thing.
Did you want to talk about transplanting real quick?
I do. That's what I was just
going to
say.
And the root hairs and how the root hairs get disturbed.
So when you buy a plant, especially if you're going to go and you're going to get a plant that's kind of root bound because it's been in the pot for a while, one of the things you need to do is you need to slice those roots. You need to cut those root tips and root hairs off.
And what does that do?
What that does is it says to the plant, you have to regrow, and you don't want those root hairs and root tips to continue going around in that circle. You want them to say, "Oh, I have to do something else. I have to go out into the native soil that you're planting it into."
So they're going to feel that cut.
They're going to feel it.
And they're going to go, "Emergency. We got to get growing." Right?
And it's going to take them.
And it's going to send them. They got to start sending out those fresh root hairs, right? Which is going to help them bring in nutrients.
And it'll take them a few days. So therefore, your plant's going to look a little droopy.
Right. Or in my case, tomatoes that look miserable for like 2 or 3 weeks because I put them into some cold, wet ground.
That's right. So it takes a little while for those root hairs to form and to start doing their job.
Yeah. And Robert Pavlis talked about this quite a bit. He's like, don't worry about a plant that's going through shock like that, like a transplant shock. We see it every spring. He said, you don't need to go out and buy a special fertilizer for them or transplant fix. He said, just give them time. And he's like, we tend to want to fix things right away. We want to go get them a little goody at the store or, you know.
Or like, one of the
if
things
we get sick, we want NyQuil or we want some ibuprofen. He's like, just wait.
Wait.
Just wait.
One of the things we also tend to do is we think water is going to help a plant from being droopy. And he says, well, it may need water, but do the finger test before you add water because you may be doing really harm to that plant if you're adding water when it doesn't really need it.
It's already cold and wet.
And you're taking away the oxygen from the roots because you're drowning it. Put your finger in there when you got a droopy plant and say, "Ooh, is it really water?"
And
or is
you do that to your second knuckle.
Basically. So
and
that
so
means
feeling for moisture at the end of your finger.
Exactly. If there's still moisture down there,
it's fine.
Now the exception to that is onions. Onions have a very shallow root system, so that you want more.
Plants with shallow
moisture.
Root systems are different.
Yeah, exactly. But see if it actually needs that water before you do it. So. Let's see. I really wanted to talk. We've only got a couple minutes, but I found one of the things really interesting in this podcast was how there's undifferentiated cells.
Meaning
that those cells are sitting there waiting to decide, am I going to be root? Am I going to be leaf? Am I going to be stem? Every plant has these. And they mostly live in the nodules and a little bit at the tip and a few in the roots. But the reason this is significant, I've always wondered why when you cut off a stem is of a basil. You stick it in water, and within 5 days, you're going to have roots. It's like, right. How does the plant
willows
do that?
Willows are famous
willows
for rooting.
Do that. Yeah.
Many, many branches can do this. Yeah.
So what that's about is that there's undifferentiated cells sitting mm-hmm. in those nodules.
Cells waiting for programming.
Waiting to be told by mm-hmm. the plant, this
waiting
is what I'm going
to
do.
Waiting to be given a job.
That's yes. right. And so it may be that they're supposed to grow roots, or it may be that they're mm-hmm. supposed to do a new leaf. And so that's why it's mm-hmm. important when you're cutting a transplant, or when you're cutting for a cutting, mm-hmm. make sure that you have you're right below a nodule, so that those cells that are in that nodule mm-hmm. are there ready to do the job of creating roots.
Right.
Okay. So a nodule is just that little bump.
Yeah. Where mm-hmm. it's yeah. nodule is where the leaves come out.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. That's basically. Okay. So we could go on. We've got more information, but we will not. But I will say again, mm-hmm. if you found this interesting, if you want to mm-hmm. learn more about leaves in particular, go to joegardner.com. I highly recommend this as a podcast. I have found his guests to be really consistently interesting and good. So mm-hmm. joegardner.com. And these two particular podcasts are number 270 and 272. And Robert Pavlis has written a bunch of books. Mm-hmm. What I can't remember the exact title.
Garden myth busting. Yeah. He likes to.
So that's mm-hmm. our show today.
Wow, a lot of heady stuff there.
Yeah, a lot of heady stuff, I know. And some people will find it interesting, and some people are probably going, oh, my goodness, just talk about the carrots.
Just tell me what to do.
Yeah, just tell me what to do, exactly.
Well, thank you so much for telling us what to do.
Yeah. All right, happy gardening, everyone.
All righty, you too. Have a great day. Thank you to Mardell and Rebecca for the Garden Conversation, heard every Thursday morning here on your community radio station, KHNS, Haynes, Clequan, and Skagway. It's 9:01, and that means it's time for the community calendar, which is brought to you in part by Canal Marine and Auto at 704 Union Street, Outboard Marine, Steel Equipment, Auto Repair and Tire Swap, Mount and Balance. Open 9 to 5:30 Monday through Friday. You can reach them at 766-2437. On this September 8th, happy birthdays go out to Charlotte Linfors, Riley Williams, Reed Nelson, Joe Calver, Thomas Kelly, Olivia Witherspoon, and Tina Demert. And happy anniversary to Rod and Becky Jensen and Lee and Suzanne Hartson. Today in Haynes and Clequan, Intermediate Tai Chi is at 9:30 at the Chilkat Center. The Haynes Sheldon Museum is open from 10 a.m. until 4 this afternoon. The Hammer Museum is also open at 10 until 5. Tai Chi for Seniors is at 11 a.m. in the Chilkat Center. The Haynes Public Library will be open from 10 until 7 today. And in Haynes,